Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, and I'm coming on to do a new thing called the Sunday Class Roundup. And I have to say that I knew how to entice people to say women in crime, but I also wanted to go into about my teaching for the past 2 weeks as things are happening and the world is evolving and life and death and everything in between that we know. I wanted the world to know what is happening in the Mustakeem world, and more importantly, what is happening in these conversations about not just women and crime, but and crimes, plural, done on, through, and even more at the hands of women, or even women or females' bodies, because as I remind my students all the time, a 10-year-old is not a woman. So whenever we begin to always put every female as a woman, hello, there is a thing called the historical evolution. So in both of my classes for the past 2 weeks, we've been really thinking about what is crime, who are women, what is female, what is death and violence, and what are the codes? What does it mean to be enslaved? What does it mean to be female? What does it mean to have violence detonated on you? Hey, maybe even in you and in your body. So within the past couple weeks within Women in Crime, we've gone from the slave trade, still in the world of violence that women confront, both black and white right now. And we started with the syllabus, of course, doing course overview, all the typical things that would happen. And within the first unit of the Women in Crime class, we've been asking, or we've moved to this unit that is entitled From the Slave Ship to the American Colonies, Race, Gender, and the Criminalized Fear of Female Unruliness. What is female? Again, a woman and a girl, quite a vast world of femininity. I think we all can agree. So what does it mean to be unruly? What does it look like to be a female? So for every unit in the syllabus, I have done better to center these guiding questions. And within this first unit, I ask a few questions, maybe about 4 or 5. And I ask, who and what does female unruliness look like in the American past from the slave ships to the American colonies? That is vast territory asking for questions that have continued to not be asked. Where and how do females come in the lexicon of memory from the slave ship to the American colonies? The next question, what women and what girls are remembered? Why? Or why not? Who has value in the future of memory? What role does remembrance, or perhaps what role do silences serve within forming a collective future? And more importantly, where and how do we place these women and girls within our national and, dare I say, global consciousness? And then these last two questions that I really ask within this unit is, how early does the criminalizing of women and girls start? Where does it start? How does it start? How far back in our memory? So for the past couple weeks, I know some of my students are like, I showed up ready to talk. Guess what? There's a lot you don't know. There's a lot of us do not know when, if, and how we choose to ask where and how do females fit into our global, and more importantly, when we think about quote-unquote American history, what females are included, and what about the unruly? What about the women and the females and the girls who just got out of line? Where do we put them into that place of memory? So I had the students go and look at a YouTube, since now I am being reminded every time I go to class, TikTok is doing better than you. YouTube is doing better than you. Really? Wow. I did try to put in the time towards not only the PhD, but more importantly, the empowering of the future. But I also tried to meet the students where other people will say, well, we already know that. So, all right. Let's bring YouTube into the learning that scholars are putting forth. So what happened is that I assigned a YouTube video that for me was really useful to look at race and the Salem witch trials. Because when we think about this history of witch hunting, race goes out the picture. However, many of us know that a black woman is at the center of many white females, girls, and then a world of whiteness that began to police what is freedom within the 17th century, if we're even depending on when we're looking. So that's why I tried to juxtapose it with where does the criminalizing on the black female body begin? Now, many people who are so historical would start in the plantation. Isn't that interesting? Slavery does not begin on plantations. The last time I checked, enslaved people arrived on slave ships. So where and how do we account for the unruly within the world of slavery? So that is where the questions have started to say, what does race look like? When we begin to look at this whole hearse, or really this history in the hunt to bring down women who are unruly, girls who are unruly, females who are unruly, black and white, and many, many, many more. And then what does a crime look like for a female who's in the middle of a slave trade? What happens if your body is riddled with disease? Then all of a sudden, violence becomes a legal tactic, during the legal slave trade, where violence is allowed to be used to determine the value of one, a female, a child, an elderly, diseased, disabled, all of it. The whole thing is getting my students to understand that we have to look at where and how do we put females in our memory of slavery, in our memory of policing, in our memory of crime, in our memory of American history that does begin not only on the waters on the African coast, but also all across the landscape of America. So in order to get students to understand this even more, I had them read this classic article by my mentor, Dr. Darlene Clark Hine. And I realized that as I was teaching, as I was getting my students to understand these multi-worlds of where females and where policing and violence and slavery at sea and the slave trade, and however we remember the past, a global past anchored most on capitalism, whether we say racial capitalism, but even more, the buying and selling of people to populate a world, to labor a world, and to also extract money, profit, off of not only their presence, but also what they produce. So I moved from the slave trade and also getting students to think about where does the hunt begin against unruly females. And then we went to Dr. Hines' classic article, Black Women's History, White Women's History, A Juncture of Race and Class. Because in teaching this class of women and crime in the evolution of American history, I need us to understand that the makings of America are not one way. It's not about just white women, and it's also not just about black women. It is about the making of a nation that is anchored on the living of many. So as some students are like, oh, I'm so glad to be in this black woman's crime class. No, this is a class where we're going to think about where and how the female tentacles come in many versions, because the peopling, and more importantly, in this class, the womaning, the femaling of a nation and an American nation is anchored on many threads of experience. So in order to take it deeper, I also assigned Wilma King, Dr. Wilma King's classic article from that came out in the Journal of African American History, the oldest black professional history journal in the world. And we read Mad Enough to Kill, Enslaved Women, Murder in the Southern Courts. Because I needed my students to have an article while living and learning in Missouri. I needed them to know what does violence within the world of slavery look like within the landscape of the very state you are living in this moment. And it was the most brilliant idea I could have included. And then I had the nerve to also assign what I was assigned in college 25 years ago to be introduced to the 1856 case connected with the Margaret Garner, whether we say Kentucky, but also the Cincinnati, Ohio, murder of a child by a mother who was attempting to free her child from slavery. So basically, we go from the most iconic execution in Missouri in 1855, not of a woman, but of a 19-year-old. And as I ask my students, a 19-year-old, is she a woman or a girl? And of course, all of a sudden it became, oh, she's a girl, 19 years old, 4 days before Christmas in 1855. The state of Missouri saw the need, because of the actions, because of the resistance, that an enslaved female, a girl, a 19-year-old, a teenager, would detonate against her tormentor. That, for some, is the most iconic to Missouri. But what does it look like still, for a moment, to look up north? In Cincinnati, Ohio. Last time I checked, that was not the South. So then to supplement the learning, to supplement the expectations of slavery is only a Southern thing, then we included in one class Dr. LaFloria, Dr. Talitha LaFloria's article, Under the Sting of the Lash, which is also in this very special article, and more importantly, a special series within in the Journal of African American History that was called Gendering the Carceral State. It is the number one series of articles that if women and if females and hey, if men are not the only prism that you are interested in using, then please see the value. As I have shown my students, there was a special issue that no scholar should ever say, you do criminality and then dare to not include, cite, and even teach this gendering the Carceral State, the Journal of African American History, put out. And this is where my students got and are still getting the first introduction to the importance of that particular issue. Now, with that, the students also, within at least the Women in Crime class, dare I say, we went to Jesse James in order to begin to think about the criminalizing of the women in and the females, but more importantly, the women in Jesse James' life. So the students read about the assassination, the murder, the death of Jesse James in his own house, in the back of his head, shot him in the back of his head, in his house, where his wife is making food for some friends that are there. But then we also talked about how the mother of Jesse James, the wife of Jesse James, would continue to be criminalized. So the real question, going back to this whole thing of memory, her historical memory, historical memory, as I asked my students, when's the last time, did you even know about Jesse James? Do you even know who Z is? Zerelda. And Z would be one woman in his life, and Zerelda will be another. One would be his mom, and the other, his wife. So we began to talk about that history, that herstory, while also thinking about the crimes that would land females within the southern economy of the convict lease system. Now, within our conversation, we also talked about, is Missouri northern or is it the south? The average person would say, Missouri is the south. Missouri is worse than Georgia. Well, what is worse and what's the best? What is it? As I told my students, I've been here for a long time, and now I realize, hey, Missouri is what it is. It is not Georgia. It is not Mississippi. It is not South Carolina. It is not even North Carolina, Virginia, or Florida. Missouri is so southern that it's northern. It is so northern that it is southern. So then we began to think about that memory of slavery in Missouri by way of females, by way of males, but also thinking about an economy of slavery while also an economy of violence. So we went a whole lot of places. And then also within my other, quote, crime class, but also it's a two-tiered. In my Mapping the World of Black Criminality class, we began to think about slave codes. There are slave codes. Those codes, those laws, those ways of being that legally determine where and how enslaved, but more importantly, blackness is allowed to be. But Anne, what are slave codes? What are black codes? However, before we try to run to freedom, where did you learn about slavery? How did you learn about the laws and the coding, the codifying of laws? Were you taught that? Do you see how slavery has its haunting of the laws and the policing that come from not only the plantation world, but even more, the world of the slave trade? So we started, just like the Women in Crime class, we started with a 1791 homicidal murder out within the Atlantic Ocean, my most popular article that no American journal would ever see value to publish. However, a British journal, Atlantic Studies, saw value, and now, 11 years later, I can continue to have my students see the value of learning distinctly from the death of a black woman. So within this article, my students were beginning to think about, what are the slave codes within the slave trade? What does policing look like within the world of slavery and, more importantly, aboard slave ships? So we begin to think about the worlds that are governed by those within it. So no public means freedom to detonate the violence that you see fit. And that's what happened within this article that my students started with, to begin to think about the criminalizing of a black female body, a black female who was riddled with smallpox. And then we begin to think about black resistance within a white world of power. So where we're going in the mapping the world of quote-unquote black criminality, we're already started. We're going to read Beloved, and we're also going to watch the movie Beloved, that Toni Morrison saw the value of Margaret Garner's 1856 case, where she chose resistance as a point of freedom within a world of policing black life within slavery. So my students are going to take a different twist to begin to think about the haunting of slavery, and more importantly, thinking about the haunting of the dead and the living and this whole connection of the sanctioning of violence, but also where violence becomes a tool, a point of communication, and also a potent reminder of the mind, the body, the soul, and even more, the choices that those enslaved made. Because for many years, I felt like enslaved people were like falling from another planet. As I'm trying to talk about not only the world of slavery, but also the world of the slave trade. So for both students, and not just both students, but both classes, it is getting students to think about violence as a real important way of tracing the past. Whether we're looking at women in crime, crimes detonated on women or females, and also the violence that is read as unruly by females, and then also thinking about what is policing of black life look like aboard slave ships before we get to plantations and through plantations. So on both sides, I'm asking a whole lot of questions. Again, you're hearing me really try to bring this up to get us to think about what is the past that we know, and then what is the past that we have been taught? Does that look like? How do we teach it? How do we care about that? What do we, and where do we, and how do we make that matter? So again, today I just tried to go on and keep us posted about what are the questions that we're beginning to ask as we go even deeper to think even more about the historical past and even more about the historical past. Not even more, but equally. Again, I'm over here thinking about what is history, what is herstory, how do we begin to think about it even more deeply. And before I go, I wanted to remind us, I had to go and find it, the Mapping the World of Black Criminality, the unit that I've called it, it's called Black Bodies, Slave Codes, and Policing Within Slavery. And before I go, I wanted you to know the questions. So within those questions in this particular unit, I'm asking, how were black bodies regulated and ordered within not only the world of slavery at sea and on land, but more importantly, what role did race play in the everyday expectations of how black people are supposed to be under the world and within the world of slavery? Where and how did policing become a part of the making of new citizenship? That means, what does it mean to use violence to then profess one's citizenship and duty to a world, to a business, to a community, both on slave ships as well as within the world of plantation slavery, and then whose community is being served and protected over and over. So a lot of ground has been covered because, again, that's what I do because I am the one and only Dr. Musa Keem. And, again, I wanted to come on and just give the world an understanding even more about what is happening within these questions, within these classes and these discussions that are going so deep as my students begin to think about what does it look like when we actually care about the past and then whose story is deemed valuable in that world of memory. So, hey, just wanted to come on and empower you about where we are, where we're going. Even more is coming. So in the next week, I will tell you in the Women in Crime class, we're about to read this really important, phenomenal book that actually brings together the history of white women and black women who are incarcerated within the American West. We're looking at Ann Butler's book, Gender Justice in the American West, and we're beginning to really look at what is the female experience within male penitentiaries, and then on the flip side, within the Mapping the World, quote-unquote, black criminality. We're going to really go deep to go where some parents don't see the value to come and learn about Margaret Garner and the resistance that she chose to detonate in 1856, how Toni Morrison decided to allow us to remember, to dare to get us to remember Margaret Garner's story, and then even more, the haunting of slavery. What does the haunting of slavery look like when memory is at the center of many things and even more trauma? So here we are, just beginning. I am the one and only Dr. Tawani Musakeem. So here we are, just starting and just keeping that evolution going. So stay tuned for even more. All right, now I'll talk to you soon, and I will empower you soon. All right, now. Bye-bye.